crying over broken heart. But don't worry, I'm not about to fall apart. I was thinking you can't do that if you're gone.
Maxi Dunn with Seattle in the Sun off of her brand new release, and it's really brand new, came out just a couple weeks ago, Welcome to Soonville. And right now, through the miracle of technology, all the way from Liverpool, England, I have on the phone with me, actually I have on the Skype with me, Maxi Dunn. Maxi, how are you?
Hi, Michael. I'm fine, thank you. I'm doing really well. It's nice to be here talking to you on 12. Thank you for asking me on.
Oh, of course. It's really nice to finally meet you. We've been Facebook buddies for the last 6 months or so, and I've really enjoyed seeing all your music come together, and it's just all the posts about how progress is. And finally, it's nice to put a voice to the face in the postings.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yes, thanks.
So we've gathered here today because you are the artist of the month for Twirl Radio for October. You're also going to get November, too. Your album is so good, you get 2 months, Maxi.
Hey, brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And also, it wouldn't be fair to interview you at the end of the month and then say, okay, that's it. So here we go.
Thank you.
So I've got to ask you, how did you get your start in music? How long have you been a musician?
Well, I joined my first band when I was 18, and that was back in 1990.
Okay, audience, don't do the math. It would be impolite to do the math.
And I originally, funnily enough, wanted to be a DJ.
Oh, wow.
And I had a little interview at one of the local stations and made a terrible mess of it. I was a really, really shy person, to be honest. Ah. And I made a total mess of the interview, and it sort of put me off that idea. But I always liked singing, and I was always in the school choir, and I was already writing songs probably from when I was 14. And I thought, well, let's have a go. Let's see what I can do here. So I went to a shop that used to be in Liverpool City Centre called Rushworth's Music Shop, and used to have all their notices up and stuff. And I answered an ad in there and went for an audition and joined my first band. So there you go.
What band? What was the band called?
We were called Mahalia.
Mahalia.
It was after a song by a band called The Bible who was singing about Mahalia Jackson.
Ah.
So, and I particularly liked that song that they had written about Mahalia Jackson, and I liked the name, and we were called that for 3 years. So that was that.
Very nice. And then you were in a band somewhere in the mid-90s, right? Pretty popular band?
Well, after Mahalia split off, I joined another one. We were quite, it was quite rock orientated, really. They were called Steel, and we were together for a couple of years. And then after that, I really, really wanted to try something a bit different. And we had a lot, well, you know, we had the Britpop stuff going on, and all the trip-hop stuff was going on as well. And I fancied doing something a bit different. So I joined another band called, we became CS Drift, and we sort of were quite trip-hoppy, you know, kind of Britpop-y thing going on. So we were quite popular in Liverpool. We didn't really venture out further than Liverpool, to be honest, but it got to the point where record companies were ringing us to hear demos rather than us chasing them. So that was quite, I'd be sitting and work, you know, typing away. Next minute, you know, I'd have Virgin on the phone and stuff. So, I mean, it never accumulated to anything, but, you know, it was quite good. And we used to gig a lot as well. So
that's a neat experience, though. And I'm a liner note reader, so I've been going over the liner notes in Welcome to Soonville, and it looks like a lot of your songs are credited to CS Drift.
Yeah, there's six songs on the album which were old songs that we did as a band. Some of them never even got done live. They were just demos just sitting there that we never demoed up properly. Even just poor studio demos where I'd just like written the lyrics and the vocal melody and sung over the music idea, and then they just sat there, and then obviously we split up and nothing became of them. But the likes of Say Hi as a Kite and Pull You Down, we used to do them live, and they were really, really good songs, I thought, and you know, they used to sound electric live and that. And I was, over the years, you know, when obviously I had my break to have my children, stuff like that. Those songs, I used to think, you know, we shouldn't just sit there and do nothing. We should try and, you know, bring them back at some stage. So we did. Well, I did. You know, and got people to do it for me.
And, you know, I asked you in an email the other day which songs were the older ones and which ones were the newer ones. And I was right on most of them. I think I missed one of them, but to me, the new ones are very, very focused. The old ones seem like they're about situations in general, but the new ones, you seem very, very focused in your writing.
Yeah, I would say the new ones follow, I suppose the new ones are telling a story, really. from beginning to end, and I suppose it really hasn't ended in a way. I'm still writing about the situation, but yeah, the old ones are just general this and that, you know, stuff going on here and there, and the new ones, I suppose they could be two different albums if you separated them, but they still sound good together, I think. So
they do. It's a great album. You've blended them rather nicely, which leads me to another thought I had. Are your songs autobiographical?
Yeah, I can't deny that. Some of the new ones are based on true things that were said, things that happened, places visited. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I have to believe that just by the way they sound, and they're pretty intense songs as well. Now, I noticed, I mean, it's hard not to notice this. There's two different production teams on the album. You used Pete Hackett from Cult of Wedge on some of the songs, and am I pronouncing this right, Coke Roque from Spain?
Yes.
So how come you went with the two different production teams?
It just turned out that way, to be honest, because back in January, I was just on Facebook, just messing about as you do, you know.
Yes.
And Coke, I had me on Facebook, and to be honest, I'd never actually spoken to him before. Although we were on a tribute album together previously.
Is that the Jellyfish album?
The Posies one.
Oh, Posies. Okay.
It was the Posies one, yeah. And but I'd never actually spoken to him, although, you know, we were friends and that. And, you know, we supported each other in the project and that. But he just, you know, I think it was a Happy New Year, how are you? You know, how are things going and that? How's the music? And he'd just done another song, another tribute song. He wanted me to listen to it and tell him what I thought of it and that. And then we just sort of just got chatting, and I said, do you fancy doing something together, you know, collaborating on something? And he said, yes, sure. And I said, well, I've got these songs. So the songs come out, you know. I've got these songs that I'd like to try and, you know, re-record and bring them back to life again. And he's like, fine, okay, send them over. So then I sent the four songs over, which were Waiting to Go Round, Pull You Down, I Mean That, and High as a Kite.
Yes, yes.
And so then Coke took them away, and him and Roque done a wonderful job on them, I think. So then obviously Pete, I met through MySpace. I think we had a lot of musical, we liked a lot of the same music and stuff, so we'd be chatting about music and that. And I'd actually been writing some new songs. I'm quite shy in playing new songs to people, you know. I'm not like, it takes me a while to get the confidence, you know.
Sure.
And I'd written these new songs, and I sent them to a few of my friends to see, musical friends, to see what they thought, and, you know, hopefully if they wanted to do something with them, help me out. And I didn't quite get the response I was expecting, to be honest. I think a lot of the subject matters were a bit close to home to them. They didn't want to get involved. Didn't want to take sides in the situation and stuff. So they sort of backed out, really. So I was explaining this to Pete, and Pete said, well, send them over and, you know, I'll have a listen to them. So I emailed them over, and he just happened to like them, and he said, can I have a go at recording them? I was like, yeah, okay then. So the two songs I'm talking about were How Was I to Know and I Wish You Well. So Pete took them away, and he come back. Originally, I'll tell you this, Pete won't mind me telling you this. He originally done How Was I to Know, and it was just totally like, Pete, no way. That is not what I'm thinking of. And I said, how about like this and that? So I sent him a couple of songs. I think it was an Amy Mann song and a Sam Phillips song. I said, can we have it sort of more in this sort of, you know, thing? And then he come back with something totally different. I was like, that's it. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Wow.
So that was that, really.
I hadn't thought of that, but those are two of my favorite singer-songwriters, Amy Mann and Sam Phillips. Would you consider them to be influences?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I really like both of them. I think Amy Mann's a brilliant songwriter.
Yeah.
And Sam Phillips, I love her Cruel Inventions album, just the whole feel of it, just dead eerie, and you know, you can feel the summer, and you can, it's just, I just love it, it's just lovely.
Wow. So. Fantastic. Now, I totally derailed the conversation there, but Pete's done a fantastic job. And if I understand this correctly, you two have not actually met in person. Is that right?
No, we haven't. Pete lives in Rowley, a place called Rowley Regis in the Midlands, West Midlands, which is, oh no, I won't say it because he'll kill me if I say it. But okay. Yeah, it's in the West.
Fair enough.
Don't say that word. I don't live near there. So yeah, it's in the West Midlands. And so it's probably about two and a half hours away in the car if you were going to drive. That's not really that far, to be honest. But yeah, no, we've never met. So that's we've both got families, and you know, we both work, and you know, and everything musical has just been done over the net. So
exactly, like this interview, you know, we're all kind of evening and weekend warriors here. You know, I've got the day job, and then I do this on the weekends and, you know, evenings. My wife sees me cooped up in this little office trying to put this radio studio together here. But, you know, with Pete, though, it completely took me by surprise when he said that, because I know that the artist-producer relationship is probably one of the closest in music. So how did you manage to collaborate so well? He sounds like he was right across the glass, and, you know, you're banging on the glass, no, Pete, and he's banging on the glass, no, Maxie. How did you do it so brilliantly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it was like. For instance, like the actual guitar solo in Seattle in the Sun was something that it was a melody that was going through my head for weeks and weeks and weeks while we were working on the song. And I was like, Pete, I'm going to hum this down now. I'm going to send it to you, and you're going to do the guitar solo exactly like I do it. So like, he comes back and he'd done it, and I was like, no Pete, do it exactly as I hum it. It's got to be exactly the same. And he did. He done these two little guitar solos in the same melody I hummed to him. So, yeah, I mean, we get on really well. It's like, musically, we like a lot of the same things. So it's really good. If I describe something to him, he knows exactly what I mean, you know. So it's just turned out we like a lot of the same music, so that helps.
Yeah. I think there's some kind of intuitive connection. There has to be, because that's such a close relationship. And you could tell when the producer and the artist aren't getting along. But I can hear on this album, you guys were working as a unit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there'd be like little ideas. I'd say, you know, Pete, do you think you could do this? And you go, yeah, okay, fine. Like, it would always be, well, you know, it's your song, it's your record, you know. But he always used to come up with exactly what I wanted, and it always used to work out. That was a good thing. So, and there were things I suggested that were truly awful, to be honest. Then I was like, don't play that to me ever again. Why did I ever think of doing that? Get rid of it. I don't want to hear it ever again. So, you know, we're wrong bits as well. But yeah, we get on really well.
That's good. It's good. And I like that creative tension. A little bit of push-pull probably made the album go in the right direction, I would think. Another question. This has been nagging at me, and I didn't want to ask you this one yet because I figured it'd be nice to hear it right now in your own words. What does the title Soonville from Welcome to Soonville refer to?
Right. Okay. It's actually a place. I won't tell you where it is. It's somewhere where me and a friend we would describe somewhere we were going to go together as this place, and so that's it really. So it is based on somewhere real.
Oh, it is. Okay. So, it's just because it's the place where all your dreams will come true. It sounds like something that you're really, really looking forward to.
It was something I was really, really looking forward to. Unfortunately, the dream didn't come true, and it all sort of went a bit nasty, really. But I think in respect of the dream, I mean, if I talk about the cover of the record itself, is you know, around it, you've got this like lovely picture of dream thing going on, and then around it you've got sort of the reality of when the dream ends. And I think really I'm saying that, you know, well, you know, I've made this record, so, you know, maybe, you know, something nice will come out of that after, you know, all the terrible stuff. So
I think so. And, you know, I was pretty blown away when I saw the album cover too, because of what you just said. I'm holding it in my hands at this very moment, and I suggest all you Twirl listeners need to do the same thing. A little plug there. But yeah, I'll describe it. You're on a waterfront. I'm assuming that's around Liverpool or Merseyside.
It's the pierhead. Yeah, on the front there. That's the Mersey. Yeah.
And it's this grey, stormy day. The skies are grey. The water's grey. The whole picture really is grey. You're standing there, not looking too happy. And then there's a portrait on an artist's easel. It's in brilliant color. It's of this couple standing on this bridge, and everything is sunny, beautiful. And below it, it's captioned, "Perfect picture."
Exactly, yeah. To be honest, you know, something happened in my life, and I just went into this terrible, dark place for quite a long time. And it devastated me, really, losing a friend and friendships. And plus, you know, I'd split up with my partner as well. We'd been together for 14 years, so... and the other person was sort of involved in that. Yeah. So, you know, it was a really, really terrible time in my life. And, you know, for a while I wasn't safe with us, should we say, with the rest of the world. And I think that's what the picture's trying to show, is that there was a dream and the dream ended, and this is how I felt after it. That's what happened, really.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I really got that from the picture, and I get that from the songwriting, too. I think without even having to know what the situation is, I think your songs really speak for themselves, and I think a lot of people can relate to what you write about as well. I'd say I've related to several of the songs myself.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm hoping, that, you know, people will listen to it and go, oh, you know what, that happened to me, or, you know, I can really feel that, or, you know, or they can even put themselves into the song and, you know, and feel it, kind of thing. But I'm sure, I know a lot of people have probably been through the same thing, so it's not like, oh, you know, you're the first in the world to have a broken heart or lose someone. So, you know, yeah, I'm hoping that that's what people get from it anyway. So
yeah, a little bit of comfort. We have a saying here. I don't know if you have that saying in the UK, but when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. Have you heard that before?
I have. In fact, one of my friends on Facebook actually said that to me on when he was congratulating on me on doing such a good job, because obviously he knew about the situation. So when he said that to me, that was weird how you just said that. So
that's what
got to know that saying. So
well, that's what this whole situation reminds you of, because you took a terrible life situation, you made just a fantastic piece of art, really, and you took part of your life from the past, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and the new songs, and it's a magnificent piece of art. It's honestly one of the top albums I've heard this year, Maxie.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh,
you're welcome. Welcome. And it's just, I mean, you've put your heart and soul into this, and it really, really shows.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, just another question about the album itself, and we have the two producers, of course, Pete Hackett and Coke Roquet. What, in your opinion, is the difference in the musical styles between the two production teams?
I think Coke Roquet are a bit... I mean, I loved when they came up with Pull You Down. They turned it in such a big sort of rock... No chick. I felt like a real rock chick when I was singing it, and I think, you know, they're a bit more rock orientated. And you know, they've got that major power pop influence as well. And although Peter's also got the power pop influence, he listens to a lot of sort of, like, I'd say the other side of the kind of stuff that I listen to are like people like Japan and David Sylvian and John Fox and people like that back from the 80s, and he listens to a lot of that. So I think he can sort of like juggle things around a little bit in that way. So I think, I can't really say. I mean, I don't think there's that too much difference between them both, really, but you can see a distinct style. Plus, I think, you know, they're Spanish as well, so I think there's a little bit of a Spanishy feel in the songs as well, and, you know, that influence. So
You know, Waiting to Go Round, the guitar, the acoustic guitar, and that makes me think of something Spanish.
It's really nice. I really like what they've done with that. It's someone described it as quite beautiful, the whole thing, you know, the way it just goes. It's like a song just going round, I think, you know. So that's good.
And the one you mentioned, that's ironic, Pull You Down, because I was listening to this the other day in the car, and I was trying to pick out which ones are the Coke Roquet tunes, and that's the one that fooled me. I thought that's the only one that I got wrong. I thought that was a Pete Hackett tune, because it rocked a little harder, and I think his music sounds a little more driving than the other guys, perhaps.
Coke did originally say when he was working on it, this is going to be rock and roll. And I was like, okay. So I think, you know, I mean, it's, to be honest, you know, it's probably not a great deal different to the original version back from 95 or whatever. But you can, it's still got the same drive and stuff, but he's definitely rocked it out a bit better. So
yeah, just a great sound on that one as well.
Yeah.
Okay, just a couple more questions, not so much about the album, but have you ever been to the United States? I know the answer because I listened to some of the songs, but have you ever been here?
I have, yes. I went to Phoenix, Arizona in 90... I'm just trying to think when Sam was born. Sam was born in 97. Might have been, 1996.
Okay.
I came over to Phoenix with Ronnie, my ex-partner. His manager, who sadly passed away now, lived there. Oh. Well, it was one of his many homes, shall we say.
Okay.
And we went over to stay for him. And it was a nice time, actually, because it was actually him telling Ronnie he got him a record deal, and it was all really nice. And, you know, then he lent us his car, and we went to the Grand Canyon and stuff. So that was really nice.
Yeah, nice.
And some of the songs were actually written while I was there, that are on the album, actually. The Last to Know was written there, Waiting to Go Round. And I think that was it. Yeah, Last to Know and Waiting to Go Round were written there. And I think I wrote more than this when I come back, which is written when we went through Sedona, when I'm describing the mountains red and gold and that.
Oh, wow.
So that was really nice. And then not last year, the year before, I went to Seattle. So obviously, Seattle in the sun.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
So I went to Seattle and had a 4 or 5 days there with some friends who were on the Posies tribute album. So it was to promote that. So,
oh, wow.
So that was good.
So you haven't made it to California yet, huh?
No, haven't now. To be honest, my kids are more travelled than me these days.
Oh, wow.
Split up with the dad. They've been to New York and everywhere. You know, it's all right, so I'll just stay here. I really would love to come over and visit quite a lot of places. It's just, you know, it costs a lot of money, doesn't it? And, you know,
yes,
you've got your family commitments and stuff. And, you know, who knows, the music might bring me over one day. So we'll just wait and see.
I'd say now, with the miracle of the internet, Facebook, and MySpace, you have so many people here in the States that would love to meet you. I think this wasn't even possible 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so different. I just wonder how bands survived and stuff. Like, back in my day, you know, sound like an old kid, don't I? But, you know, it was just so different. You had to deal with everybody via phone or face-to-face and stuff. And now you just don't need to do that. It's so... so easy for people to get their music across, you know, so
it really
it's
is.
Good.
And you're living proof of that, and it's easy for me to do radio long distance, so we know that. I'm starting up the show in Britain in a few weeks, so it's just, I'm blown away that we can do this with today's technology. Do you plan any live gigs in the near future?
Well, I have a CD launch party on the 20th of November, which is in a place called the Zanzibar, which is in Liverpool City Centre. So I'm going to be doing a few songs at that. It's just going to be acoustic. I've got an acoustic guitar player who's going to help me out on the night. So we're going to do 6 or 7 songs from the album just to promote the CD.
Oh, good.
But I haven't really got any major plans to do anything live. I would love to have a band, but again, it's, you know, it sounds really tame, but yeah, I spent 8 years being in bands, rehearsing 2-3 times a week, and then gigging every night, not every night, but, you know, 2-3 times a night a week. And, you know, I don't really think I'd really like to get back into that kind of thing. But I would love to get a band together and do some shows to do the album live. It would sound great, I think. Plus, I'd like to get the musicians involved who are on the album, but because we're all, you know, because I chose people who've scattered all over the place, you know, don't make it easy for myself. It's a lot harder because, like I say, everyone's got family commitments as well. So, you know, and obviously families are important and they come first. So
absolutely.
It's,
But you got to meet Pete someday. You know, that's just got to happen.
Well, you know, I'm still trying to get him to come down to the CD launch party. So, you know, if it's we'll see. We should come down the Tiger, his friend, who's also on the album, and you know, and but we'll see anyway. He's got a few weeks to try and sort it. So,
and I'll nudge him along on the internet. I can do my part from here. Just a couple more things, Maxie, as we wrap up this incredibly fun interview. Okay, blatant plug. How can my listeners get their very own copy of Welcome to Soonville?
Right, well, if they want a physical copy of the CD, they can order it from my website, www.maxiedawn.info, I-N-F-O, and they can also download it from Amazon, .co.uk or .com and iTunes, and you can download the whole album or you can just download the favorite track. So
this is the oddball question. You've probably heard this before, but what is your favorite food?
Favorite food? Oh, do you know what? I just love food in general.
Me too.
I'm not that fussy. I won't eat seafood. No, I can't touch that stuff. But Indian food is definitely my favorite. I love a good curry.
I do too, and it's just becoming really popular here in the States.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I just love it.
And lastly, I want to thank you so much, Maxie Dunn, for appearing here on Twirl Radio. It's been a pleasure and a blast meeting you and talking to you about Welcome to Soonville.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to come on and talk about it. It's been lovely. Thank you.
My pleasure. And very last thing, as we close out the interview, what song would you like to hear of yours, Maxie?
Sinking in the Sand, please, because I like that one.
Sinking in the Sand, you've got it. Maxie
yes.
Dunn, Sinking in the Sand, Welcome to Soonville. Thanks for being our guest on Twirl Radio. Here's Sinking in the Sand, Maxie Dunn.
Every day I walk through my front door and sit on the stairs.